Hello again, class. This is Brother Calhoun, Spirit of Honor class. This is class number 8. We're going to continue our lesson on the Spirit of Honor. This session, we're going to be talking about how to build honor, ways of building honor. Amen. I'm going to get into a brief word of prayer and get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to show forth the praises of him who've called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I trust, Father, that each and every student will receive everything they need from these class sessions, Lord God, that they are learning how to walk in honor, how to build honor, Lord God, and how to stay out of dishonor. And Lord, as always, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to show up in this class session and to empower me and to speak through my mouth and think through my mind. Because if the Holy Spirit don't show up, Lord, you know I'll fall flat on my face. I'm depending totally and completely on you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, class. We're talking on this today's topic on honor, on how to build honor. Listen up. Honor grows the generations. So when you sow honor and sow the seed of honor, the generations are blessed. And what I mean by the generations, your generations, grandchildren, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your generations, the legacy that you leave. Honor grows generations. When you sow honor, you show it and also you sow it. The seed of honor will grow the generation, and that those generations are going to be blessed. And that word blessed means empowered to prosper. A generational legacy of blessing will take place in your life. A good illustration of that is in the book of Genesis, where it talks about how Noah built an ark, and Noah had 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Canaan was one of those, but how the 2 sons who honored Noah by backing up and not seeing his nakedness, whereas the other son who saw Moses' nakedness exposed it to the other 2 by telling them about it and did it, as the author says, in somewhat of a facetious way, he was cursed and his generation or his legacy was cursed. But Shem and Japheth, they were enlarged and they were blessed because they honored their father by not exposing his nakedness. You know, that's so very important that we know how to honor properly. Amen. All right. Proverbs 26:2 says, as the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. There's always a reason why the curse is put upon someone or their legacy or their generations behind them never seem to blossom or to prosper or to walk in God's fullness. A lot of times it's because of a person's dishonor to whomever God has assigned him to, or dishonor of parents or people in authority that allow the curse to come. As the scripture says in Proverbs 26:2, the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, there's always a reason why the curse appears in someone's life. Okay. Honor grows generation of blessing upon your legacy. Dishonor will castrate generational destiny. I'm going to read that again. Honor grows generations of blessing upon your legacy. Dishonor will castrate generational destiny. When a generational destiny is castrated, it will not produce. It will go barren. A good illustration of that, and we'll probably get into this topic a little bit more next semester, but Absalom, who was one of David's sons, because Absalom turned against his father David and actually fought against David and dishonored his father, his legacy was cut off. Absalom had no heirs. Even though he was, you know, the king's son, and he could have anyone or anybody he wanted, and for the most part, he did. Didn't have any offspring. Why? Because of dishonor. I mean, temples were built that had his name on it, but after so many generations or so many years, the temples were torn down. And so there was nothing left, our son or seed, to carry on his legacy because of his dishonor. Like I said, and we're going to get into that more next year, but I just wanted to point that out right now. All right. Honor grows generation of blessings upon your legacy, while sowing seeds of dishonor will castrate generational destiny. Anytime a person sows a seed against, I'm sorry, anytime a person sows a dishonor seed against their legacy, their inheritance from their spiritual father, their ability to possess the future will be cut off. Honor grows generational blessing. Dishonor castrates your destiny. So the thing we want to bring away from this is that you do not want to sow seeds of dishonor towards whomever God has assigned you to be under. One of the things I've heard apostle and other great men of God say is that you never want to put your mouth on a man of God and be guiltless. That's scriptural. Don't put your mouth on a man of God because there are consequences. These are men and women of God that God has put in a position of authority to be leaders, to be a part of God's apostolic government. And their purpose is to get the will of God on the earth fulfilled. So they have a very high mandate from God. And when you speak against what God has commissioned them to do and say ill things about them, you're castrating your future, your destiny, your legacy, because of words spoken that shouldn't have been spoken. Amen? All right, let me move on. Sometimes we have ministries, ministers, and even leaders that disqualify themselves in doing it seems their ministry are crippled, you know, and they disqualify themselves by what they're saying or not submitting properly. That's so important. So, you know, one of the things, and we're going to get into it in the lesson, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but it's so vital that, number one, you find your man or your woman of God, somebody God has assigned you to, somebody God has put in your heart that person is my spiritual father, or my spiritual father that I'm supposed to submit to, follow, and learn and glean from. And once you find and attach yourself to that person, that's a covenant connection that should never be broken. And just because the road might get rough or bumpy, things might not look right, you know, you have to do what God has called you to do and undergird that ministry and that man who is over the ministry or who God has given the vision. A vision is a redemptive plan of God. And when God calls a visionary, he gives that visionary a vision. And then God will surround the visionary with people to help put legs to the vision, to run with that vision. You know, the Bible says to write the vision, you know, and make it plain so they that read it can run with it, that they can take the vision forward. So you don't want to speak against a visionary or somebody who's an apostolic authority that God has called to carry out an assignment. People who do that, I'm going to read this, they disqualify themselves by ditching their spiritual father and talking badly about him. They're in what I call Lodabar. I don't know if you remember the story about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was in a city called Lodabar, and David actually went and found him because he was looking for lineage people that really should have been blessed. But because of certain things happened, Mephibosheth being crippled, Lodabar is a symbolic of low-level living are not living up to what God has called you to do. And so it's so very important that we get out of Lodabar if we are, by our confessions or our actions, and get back on the plan of God for our lives and begin to learn how to walk in and to sow seeds of honor. Now let's look at someone who showed honor and sowed honor and see what it did for him. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. We're going to be looking at Jabez and what Jabez did and how his sowing of honor elevated him, blessed him, you know, enlarged his coast because he knew how to sow honor more so than others. It says in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, our brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him in sorrow." She bore him in sorrow and much pain. Verse 10 says, and we're going to break verse 10 down. It says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that I might not grieve thee. And the Lord granted him that which he requested." Now, Jabez had a very specific request. He said he called upon the Lord, which is very important. He called upon God, and he says, "And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." In other words, expand my territory, my borders, you know, the land that I possess. And that thy hand might be with me. When the hand of the Lord is with you, you can't help but walk in success, prosperity, peace, joy, and victory. You want the hand of the Lord upon you. And then he also said, "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil." So, Lord, I thank you that you keep me from my feet from going astray and doing mischief or evil, that I might not grieve you. So Jabez did not want to grieve the Lord, you know. And the prayer said, "And the Lord granted him that which he requested." Now, Jabez's brothers were honorable, but Jabez, the scripture says, was more honorable. So that tells me that there's different degrees of honor. You can be honorable, but Jabez, it says, was more honorable than his brother. So he put forth more effort. Now, in the first verses or the other verses, it talked about how Jabez was more honorable, and his mother called him Jabez because he was born in sorrow, or she bore him in sorrow. The scripture tells us why his mother named him Jabez, born in sorrow, or caused me much pain. Despite the fact that he was born in sorrow, born possibly in the slums, caused his mother great pain and did not probably know his father, because his father is never mentioned in these scriptures. He never hated his mother for their condition. He never, you know, living on the wrong side of the track, not having the best of everything, you know, he never hated, spoke against, disrespected, or dishonored his mother because of their condition. But the Bible says that he sowed more honor. He was more honorable than his brothers. In other words, he did everything he could to bring honor to his mother, to uplift their condition, to help her in any way that he can. He had to. I mean, it doesn't say that, but just by the fact he said he was more honorable, that means he did more. He did probably double, you know, than what his brothers did to bring relief or to ease the pain and the discomfort that his mother or the family might have been going through. Instead, he showed more honor to his mother than his brothers, being that, you know, his mother was actually his life source. She gave life to him. And because she was a life source, as we stated in our first classes, all life sources are deserving of honor. You know, and this is just letting you know just how strong walking in honor will do. It said he wasn't more honorable because he prayed that prayer. He wasn't more honorable because he had this act of intercession. He was more honorable because he was the least of his brethren, but in spite of that, he showed and respected and honored his mother more so than his brethren. With that said, it is so very important. Now, this is just natural. Now, when you look it over and flip it to spiritual, it's even has greater impact. When you honor your parents, honor what the people God has used to bring you into the world, you have a right to ask God to enlarge your coast. You have a right to ask God to be with you, you know, that his hand may be with you, that he may keep you from evil. Because you are, the Bible talks about honoring our mother and father. This is the first, the first thing with promise, you know, that God promises long life, that our days will be prolonged when we honor. So this is what Jabez did. And God gave him more land, probably more riches, you know, was with him. Whatever he did, whatever Jabez did, the Lord was with him because God granted his request. Amen. Even though he had a legitimate cause to be bitter and to be angry and to denounce his mother, instead he showed more honor than those who showed honor. The Bible says it is required. Well, one of the key principles in the book, it says it is required by God that we honor every life source. Jabez honored his mother, a life source, and God blessed him. And God granted him what he requested. He, Jabez, wasn't the only person that prayed that prayer. There were probably others, but he put some action to that prayer by walking in honor. Just showing you how important honor is and how God sees honor when you honor whom God has called you to honor. Amen? And like I stated earlier, when you flip that around and now not natural parents, but spiritual parents. When you honor your man and your woman of God and show them the respect and the honor that's due their position that God has placed them in, and be their armor bearers, or be whatever assignment that you've been assigned to do in the ministries that God has called you to do, do that faithfully. Do it with honor. Do it with respect. It doesn't seem like it's a lot, but to God, it means a lot because you are a part of carrying out a vision, a redemptive plan of God. And your role in that ministry, undergirding your man or your woman of God, is vital. I can't understate that enough because, like I said, God calls a visionary, which is one person, and he gives that person a vision. But then God will surround the visionary with people to help him carry out his assignment. And if you're one of those people, it's vital and it's to your benefit and profit that you take the torch that's been placed in your hand and carry that torch and fulfill. Basically what you're doing is you're fulfilling the will of God for your life. You're fulfilling the will of God for your life. And that's something you have to know and not take lightly. You cannot take that lightly. The reason God granted him that request was because Jabez learned how to sow the seed of honor. He learned how to sow honor seed or a double honor seed because he was more honorable than his brothers. And then I have some other things I want to point out, you know. Sticking with your assignment or sticking with your task. We kind of talked about that. Staying on course with the vision that God has assigned you to. Too many people get up and they'll leave the assignment or the vision that God called them to. And a lot of times people want to go and I'm ready to start my own vision. No, if God called you to a man of God, he called you to that person for a reason. You know, I always use the illustration, you know, God, you know, will lead you to a particular brook. And that brook would be where you're going to get your nourishment from, where you're going to get all your provision from. And it's vital that you stick with the assignment, stick with the vision, and stick with the visionary. Amen? All right. If you sow a dishonor seed with all the anointing that you might have, you will cancel your ministry. You cancel it because dishonor breaks the generations, but sowing honor enlarges your coast. I'm going to read that again. If you sow a dishonor seed with all the anointing that you have, you will cancel your ministry. Cancel it because dishonor breaks the generations, but sowing seed of honor will enlarge your coast. Amen? All right, remember that. So now what we're going to do, we're going to look at the greatest example of somebody who fulfilled the will of the Father, and his name is Jesus. We're going to look at how God blessed Jesus and honored him because of Jesus' obedience to the Father. If you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 and 7, and we're also going to probably touch verse 9. It says, wherefore, when thou comest into the earth, he said, sacrifices and offering would it not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. That's talking about Jesus coming into the earth. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to earth to do the will of the Father, amen, not his own will. So he says, I come in the volume of the book, verse 7, to do thy will, O God. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And I stated this earlier. You know, Jesus was on a mission. God had given him a vision of what he needed to do. Come to the earth, live on this earth for 3.5 years, gather disciples and train them to carry out the work that he started, die on the cross for the sins of humanity, you know, and by doing so, God now sent the Holy Spirit to empower those 12 and all of the other people who came after them to basically evangelize the world. One man's vision, that vision is still growing strong because of obedience of people following after God's own heart and doing, basically walking in honor. Amen. In John chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, we're going to look at Jesus' high priestly ministry for a little bit. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, thy hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. Jesus brought glory to the Father by going to the cross. Verse 2 says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. In other words, I have honored thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus did the will of the Father. He completed his mission. Verse 5 says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. As you know, Jesus stripped himself and became a man, but he came to do the will of the Father, as we just read. And now he's telling his father to glorify him with the same glory that he had with the father before the world was. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto thee, unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. So here Jesus says, I've basically the men that you've called me to disciple, I've discipled, and I'm giving them back to you, you know, and I've done your will. Jesus did the will of the Father. What about you and I? Are we going to do what God has called us to do? And we're going to talk about knowing your purpose. It's so very important. Knowing your assignment, your role in God's redemptive plan is so very important. Listen up. And you're going to need to know this. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. We've talked about that. One way of sowing honor toward your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation knowledge he is releasing and having physical manifestation from the spiritual truths that your father has taught and passing those truths on to others. One more time. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. And one way to sow honor toward your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation or revelation knowledge he has released and have physical evidence or manifestation from the spiritual truths that your father has taught you and passing those truths on to other people. You know, you can sow monetary seeds, but another true aspect of honor is taking what has been released from your father, getting manifestations to take place in your life where it's visible that the revelation knowledge, the teaching that has been imparted into you have now germinated and now begin to produce fruit in your life. And once you begin to produce fruit, you're now able to take what you have learned and begin now to impart that same truth into other people. I mean, that's what you call a generational blessing. You know, starts from the father, goes to the son, and now the son is taking those truths onto other people. You know, that's honoring your man of God, honoring your spiritual father. Jesus is our example of someone who completely carried out the will of the Father. In Matthew 26, 38, and 39, it says, make sure I get this right. He said, then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Verse 39 says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed and saying, O God, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Then verse 42 says, and he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Jesus walked in the perfect will of the Father. And it was because of the degree of honor towards the Father that Jesus showed that enabled God to highly exalt him. You see, when you walk in honor, God cannot help but highly exalt you. When you walk in the will of God for your life and whatever assignment God has given you through your man of God, you begin to carry that assignment out and put all that you have into that assignment. You know, then you can say, just like Jesus, glorify thou me as I have glorified thee by fulfilling your will, fulfilling your plan and your purpose for my life. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, I'm going to be reading some scriptures in the Amplified Bible. It says, this is talking about Jesus. It says, let this mind or this attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example of humility. Remember I said humility is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of strength. Because it's in your insufficiencies and your inabilities that God can now really allow his power and his glory shine through. Because you empty yourself and you allow him to fill you with his goodness. And your inadequacies and your insufficiencies become God's sufficiencies through you as you yield to him. And that's so very important. I'm going to read on verse 6. Who, although being essentially, this is talking about Jesus, one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which made God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful deity so as to assume the gaze of a servant or a slave, in that he became like a man and was born a human being. That's Jesus stripping himself down and becoming a man. Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O Lord. We read that earlier out of Hebrews. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself or emptied himself even still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even death on the cross. Then it says, verse 9, therefore, because he stooped so low in humbling himself or abasing himself, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that in and at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and in earth, okay? And every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It was because Jesus had humbled himself to do the Father's will that caused God to highly exalt him and honor him. I'm going to read that again. It was because Jesus had humbled himself to do the Father's will that caused God to highly exalt him and honor him. That's so very unfortunate. That's so very profound. Unfortunately, there are many young lions or young ministers, young gifts in the body of Christ that are immature, sometimes untrained, and don't have exposure to spiritual protocol. And as a direct result, will say things, wrong things, against spiritual dignities or dignitaries. They will dishonor an Apostle Thompson or a Kenneth Copeland or a Benny Hinn or any major mighty man of God, not knowingly that their tongue speaking against or criticizing another man's ministry is crippling their ministry and crippling them to where they won't possess the future. Their generations won't possess the future. What these young lions or young ministers really need is they need to first learn how to operate in wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 3:13-16 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Listen up. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15. She, talking about wisdom, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her. Verse 16. This is Proverbs 3:16. Length of days, listen up, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. So riches and honor, length of days. When you walk in wisdom, Okay? And think about some of the things we said about when you honor your parents, how your days are going to be prolonged. That's wisdom. That's all that's saying, is that wisdom. It says, for length of days is in his right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. You know, when you walk and ask God for wisdom, you can't help but walk in honor. Amen? So the first thing you have to pray for, the first thing you have to walk in is building honor is the spirit of wisdom. You need wisdom. Amen. Wisdom is a principal thing. It is biblical to pray for wisdom. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given thee. Jesus grew in wisdom and grace. He increased in wisdom. So if Jesus increased in wisdom, you and I need to increase in wisdom. You know, wisdom will bring you into riches and honor. We just read that. So it's vital, number one, that we, I got 3 minutes left, that we, number one, find our man of God, find out what our assignment is that God, when God places you in a ministry, and stick to that assignment, stick to that vision. But at the same time, we need wisdom. One of the things that I have here in red, so I wouldn't forget to share it, ask God to show you your man of God's heart. You need to know your pastor, your spiritual father, the person that is speaking into your life. You need to know their heart, you know, because when you know their heart, you can understand what's driving them. And now you could intermesh who you are with them to now help them fulfill the plan and the purpose that God had for them and for you. I use the illustration so many times, you know, you have an engine, or, you know, the caboose, not the caboose, but the engine of a train that propels all of the boxcars along the track. And even though each boxcar loaded up with all kinds of supplies or whatever have no power, that engine is the thing that's pulling them and bringing them to the next town, the next city. Anytime one of those boxcars gets disconnected, they may continue to move and go forward because of the momentum of the engine that pulled. A lot of times when they get so far, they'll do what they call they'll unhitch and they'll send some boxcars down a sidetrack. I've seen it when I worked in the industry, you know. And those cars are just they'll continue on for maybe half a mile on their own, on the momentum of the engine. But they'll eventually shut down and stop. And the reason being is because they disconnected. A lot of times people disconnect and they might go for years on what their spiritual father has taught them and the truths and because of the connection they had. But eventually they're gonna run out of steam because it's just like a tree. When you break a branch off a tree, the leaves are gonna look just as pretty off the broken part as the other leaves. But come back the next day or a day or two, those leaves will wither and die because they lost the sap that was flowing in the trunk of the tree, that was flowing in the branch to give them life. You know, the anointing of God always comes down from the head down to every part in the body of Christ. When you position yourself properly and get under your man of God, honor him. You know, ask God to show you his heart. Pray for wisdom so that you know how to honor properly. Then you can be like Jabez, you know, and God will answer your requests, you know, and God will bless you and enlarge your coast and keep you from evil. And his hand will be with you. Why? Because you are helping fulfill the agenda of God. I can't say it any other way. You got to be a part of a redemptive plan. A vision from God. You know, it's not about you and it's not about your agenda, but it's about you hooking up with somebody who is an engine and have an apostolic vision and going somewhere. And you hook on and stay connected, because wherever the engine goes, eventually, Alexis, stop. Wherever the engine goes, eventually the caboose will make it to that destination if it stays connected. Last thing I want to say here, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her. Exalt who? Exalt wisdom. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. When you get wisdom,